All right, now this evening, we're going to look at Psalm 91 for a few moments. And I say, well, a few moments, and it may be 30 or 35, 40 minutes, but in the light of eternity, what's that? In the light of how many minutes are in a day or in a week or in a year, what is 35, 40 minutes? And I pray the Lord will perk up our attention and enable me to teach this psalm in a way that's honoring and truthful to our blessed Savior. That's my aim, that's my goal, to declare unto you the truth. Now, I'm entitling the message from Psalm 91, and the title is taken from verse 1, The Secret Place. The Secret Place of the Most High. You see that? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Not maybe, not could be. Shall abide under the very shadow, the very presence of Almighty God. The secret place of the Most High. Now, what is this secret place that the believer continuously dwells in and abides in? What is this secret place? Rather, let me say this. Who is this secret place of the Most High that the believer finds refuge in? This Most High. Well, it's none other. It's none other than the refuge and the righteousness that God Almighty has provided for us in the gospel. The secret place where the sinner finds justification, pardon, and all forgiveness of sin is in that refuge that God Himself has provided. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't we say with the Apostle Paul that we count everything else, loss, dung, and ruin, that we might win Christ and be found in Him? I told the folks this morning, whatever salvation is, and I think I know what it is, but whatever salvation is, it's in Him. It's in a person, not in a pool, not in a persuasion, not in a position. Not in a profession. Salvation's in a person. The blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who provides this Savior? Who provides this hiding place? Who provides this secret place? Well, none other than God Himself. Don't you want to seek mercy where mercy's found? Don't you want to hide in the hiding place that God has provided? You know, this is so. The Lord our God is called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Don't you want to hide in the place that God has provided? And that hiding place is none other than Christ. Only that which God provides will God accept. We're accepted only in the Beloved. I want to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God. And I want to abide there. I mean, put down roots. I want to abide there, grounded and settled in Christ Jesus, rooted and grounded in Christ alone. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. Now, this psalm, like so many others, is full of blessed, precious, great, and exceeding promises of God. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. Revealed and realized, all the promises God has for us, all spiritual blessing God has for us, all found in Christ Himself. The exceeding great and precious promises that we have are revealed in Christ, given in Christ. Now, some think that this Psalm 91 is another Psalm of Moses, and it may be. And if Moses is the penman, Moses was blessed to experience the same hope that believers today have. Moses had the same hope we have. Moses rested in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all of his salvation. For our Lord said that Moses wrote about Him. You remember what He said to those Jews? If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed Me. Because He wrote about Me. From Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy, Moses was inspired, driven, moved of God to write about one person, the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, in type, promise, picture, and pattern. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all those things for us. Remember what our Lord said in Luke 24? Beginning at Moses, he said to those two men on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things, the things concerning Christ, things concerning himself. All the prophets in Acts 10, all to him give all the prophets witness. All the prophets, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets bear witness to the glory as person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this psalm, I want to divide it into four parts. Four parts. Verses 1 and 2, the believer's dwelling place. Verses 3 through 8, the believer's confidence. And verses 9 through verse 13, the believer's redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And then in verses 14 and 15, the believer's promise of salvation in Christ. He has set his love upon me, therefore we are delivered. Therefore we do call upon the name of the Lord. Now, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Trusting Him. Him alone. Now remember from our recent study in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. The believer's dwelling place has been provided by God, and He provided this dwelling place, this secret place, chosen in Christ, blessed in Christ, with an eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord before the foundation of the world. By God's eternal power and purpose and electing grace, the Lord Jesus Christ is our dwelling place now and forever. We shall abide. We shall reside. We shall be lodged in Him, in the secret place of His love, on His heart, in His mind, one with Him. Turn over here to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 40 for a moment. Upon his heart, this intimate union the believer has with Christ is a special, intimate relationship, like a husband and a wife. They're made one. Look what it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young, tender of heart. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Look back at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. In the secret place of his love, in the secret place of his eternal purpose, the purpose of redemption in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 27, look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me and set me upon a rock. Another psalm, Psalm 32, verse 7. You remember all these places when we studied back through these psalms. You haven't forgot any of these words, have you? If you're like I am, and I suspect you are, we need a constant reminding of these things, don't we? Look at Psalm 32, look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Oh, the secret place of the Most High. to abide in that dwelling place. What a dwelling place God has provided for us. The Most High God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Most High God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He's the Almighty Savior. It says that in Isaiah somewhere, that He is mighty to save. Able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Look what it says in verse 2 of Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, the believer's dwelling place now. I will say of the Lord, the Most High God now. The place where I abide, that secret place of His love, the secret place of His electing grace, His eternal purpose. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my righteousness. He is my all in all. He is my fortress. You need a fort to hide in. Did you ever do those things when you were a kid? We'd always go out and build a fort. I remember one time where I lived out in the Rocky Mountains. We used to get them strong east winds that would come down out of those canyons. I remember one time we thought we'd just go out and build a fort out of cardboard and a bunch of sticks. And we thought that it would withstand the 100-mile-an-hour winds come down out of those canyons. Well, needless to say, it wasn't much of a fortress. I tell you, though, my friend, the fortress that God provides for us in Christ will stand. Will stand. The Lord is my fortress. You see that? The Lord is my refuge. He's my God. And I tell you what, the believer trusts Him all the time. We trust Him. You remember over here, the only psalm? Do you remember that psalm that I called the only psalm? Which psalm? Which psalm was that? The only psalm. Psalm 62. Turn over there. I was in a Bible conference one time preaching. I told them to turn to the only psalm. And they all looked at me. Well, there's 150 of them. I said, no, the only one. Psalm 62, that's the name of this psalm, is the only psalm, remember? He only is my rock. Now look what it says in Psalm 62, verse 6. He only is my rock. My salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now trust in Him. Wouldn't it be foolish? You remember what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 17? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You want to trust that which God curses? What a fool. What a fool to trust that which God curses. But to the believer, this is our hope. This is our strength. This is our refuge in God, the one true and living God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is refuge for us. He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. Oh, what a blessing we have in Christ Jesus. He is my refuge. It says that again in Psalm 91, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord. You know, He's made unto us. Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us all that we need to stand before God. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that we might glory in the Lord. The Lord is our refuge. He's our hiding place in which the believer dwells. He's the foundation stone upon which we rest. Is there any other foundation stone? Has God laid any other foundation than the one that is already laid? Which is Christ the Lord. I refer back to Isaiah 28. God said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Tried stone. Precious cornerstone. It's a sure foundation. He that believeth on Him will never be forced out, is the sense. Never be forced to flee. And when it's quoted in the New Testament, shall never be confounded, shall never be ashamed. those that rest on that refuge, that foundation, how can you go wrong? You can't. I mean, do you like a surefire thing? Do you like something that's certain and sure and never to fail? Oh, my friend, our refuge, our hiding place is the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot fail. He's a believer's refuge. He's a believer's fortress. He's a believer's fortification, our stronghold. We're not strong in ourselves. All flesh is grass. Our strength is the word of the Lord. Behold the word of the Lord. Behold the Lord. All flesh is grass. He's our fortress. He's our fortification. And then it says here, He's my God. He's mine. Now, I don't know what He is to you, but I know what He is to me. He's my God. I like the confession of Thomas when the Lord Jesus Christ stood before him in His resurrection glory. You remember Thomas said, he was not there the first time the Lord appeared to His disciples. And they said, the Lord appeared to us. He said, I won't believe it unless I, you know, touch Him. And then when the Lord came in their presence, you remember what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. What a confession. My Lord and my God. He's a God of all grace, a God of all comfort, the God of all mercy, the God of all peace, the God of all salvation, for salvation's of the Lord. He's my God. Oh, I can say that with confidence. I can say that faith, believing Him. He's my God. I'll trust Him. I'm not going to trust old Tom. I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to trust any church. I'm going to trust my God. He can't fail. I love that scripture in Isaiah 42. I quote it almost every time I preach. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God, and it says of Him, He cannot fail. Failure with Him is not an option. Not an option. He's a successful Redeemer. The conquering Redeemer. I like that verse in Revelation 6, verse 2. I think it sums up the whole book of Revelation. He went forth conquering and to conquer. He's a mighty victor. He's a mighty champion. So there's the believer's dwelling place. What a blessing we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, I tell you, what a privilege to abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. Shadow is His presence. His presence. Now, the next thing I want to look at, the second division, is the believer's confidence. In verses 3 down through verse 8, the believer's confidence. Surely, it says here in verse 3, He shall deliver thee. He's our deliverer. He'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Now, I love in Scripture the shalls and wills of God. I like that scripture, especially over in Jeremiah 32, where it says, I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. I will not depart from you, and you shall not depart from me. I shall not, and I will not. The shalls and wills of God. I shall be their God, and they will not depart from thee. There are no uncertainties. None. There are no uncertainties connected with the gospel of God. It is ordered in all things and it is sure, is it not? All the promises of God in Him are, well, you know, maybe. Maybe it could be. No, all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him, certain and sure. And then it says, amen unto the glory of God through Christ Jesus. We have the sure mercies of David in the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David. Our confidence of salvation, our confidence of righteousness rests totally, vested totally, our confidence, our hope, of salvation, pardon, peace, righteousness, forgiveness rests totally in Christ, does it not? The Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly it's so. You remember that scripture, Philippians 3, where Paul talks about we are the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. None. None. Now, one time, old Saul of Tarsus, boy, he was full of, he was full of old Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he? But when God whittled him down, when God unhorsed him, when God put him in the dust, he said, now everything that I thought one time was gain to me, now it's all just manure. That's it. Loss. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him. He shall deliver us. Deliver them from going down to the pit. That's the book of Job. Deliver them from going down to the pit. Why? God's found a ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ is called in Romans 11, the deliverer that shall deliver all his covenant people. He is our deliverer. He's our Savior who really saves. He's our deliverer who really delivers. He's our Redeemer. That's what a Redeemer does. A Redeemer delivers from the bondage of sin. He delivered us from the curse of the law. He shall deliver thee. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from the penalty of sin. How's he redeemed us from the curse of the law? Being made a curse for us. Substitution. He's redeemed us from the penalty of sin. How? By being made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He delivered us from the, it says in 1 Thessalonians, that he delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us from a snare of the devil. He delivered us from the enemy of death. The Lord said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And then he said in John 14, because I live, you shall live. He's delivered us. He's delivered us. No wonder he's called the deliverer. He shall deliver thee. And then it says in verse 4, he shall cover thee. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is like that mother hen. When the storm comes up, she spreads out her wings, sheltering those little babes, those little chicks that run under her wings. But you ever noticed about he shall cover thee with thy feathers? Have you ever peeked into a bird nest and watched them little birds peck out the eggshell? And when they come out of the eggshell, have you ever noticed what they look like? They're naked. They have no covering. They have no covering. And that's us. Naked birds. By nature, we're born with no covering. Naked before God. And he provides for us a covering that we so desperately need. And that covering that he has provided for us is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah 61:10, he hath clothed us with the garments of salvation, with the robe of righteousness he hath covered us. His wings, he not only has covered us, but his wings provide healing, hiding, and covering. You remember the scripture from Malachi chapter 4? The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Oh, I want to hide under his wings. His truth shall be our shield. His truth shall be our defender. How do we shield ourselves from the attack of the enemies? How do we shield ourselves with the lie that Satan would promote? How do we shield ourselves? Well, you know, I had an experience. You know, when you read Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, The Lord Jesus Christ had just been baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And when Satan came and tempted him, the Lord didn't go back and say, well, you know, I was just baptized. You know, I had an experience. You know, I trust my feeling. Every time he was tempted of Satan with a strong, mighty temptation, what did the Lord rebuke him with? Thus saith the Lord, the truth of God's word. How do we rebuke those who promote Satan's lie that salvation depends upon you, what you do or don't do? How do we rebuke that lie? God's truth. As Spurgeon used to say, how do you expose all the crooks in the crooked stick? By laying down a straight stick. And that exposes the crooked stick, doesn't it? So the Lord Jesus Christ, then, my friend, we trust him. His truth is our shield. His truth is our buckler in which we... You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, when it tells and instructs the believers to put on the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth. The word of truth. That's what we go with. Thus saith the Lord. You know, we can never make a mistake. We can never make a mistake by preaching God's truth, God's word. Matter of fact, when it comes right down to the essence of what is preaching, what is preaching? It's simply repeating what God has already said. It's his message. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. You know what a preacher is? A preacher is a nobody who tells everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a nobody who loves to tell everybody about the somebody who can save anybody. He will have mercy on whom he will. That's what preaching is. And that's what a preacher is. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. Thou shalt not be afraid, for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And I thought about this. Thou shalt not be afraid. Now, oftentimes we have fears, needless. You know what it is? I'll tell you what fear is. It's lack of faith. Fear is a lack of faith. Do you know that? Look at back to Psalm 27. Fear is a lack of faith. Look at Psalm 27 again, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, whom shall I fear? The Lord, my light, my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies, the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I'll be confident. Fear God and not to fear anything else. Now, think about this. If God be for us, and he is, now, who can be against us? Who can be against us? The only remedy that God gives us from fears, our fears, the only remedy, you know what it is? Faith. Faith in him, in Christ. Knowing our Lord is sovereign, knowing that he's sovereign of the universe, knowing he's in control of all things, nothing comes our way but by his infinite purpose and decree. And it's always not working, it's always working for us, it's never working against us. Our light affliction, which is just for a moment, never works against us, it always works for us. The terror by night, he mentions, men are devils. The arrow by day, war or disaster. The pestilence that walks in the darkness, disease and death and plagues. We have 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, protection. You know, these security companies always advertise about getting the security on your house. You want to be protected. Have that security day and night, 24/7 security. Well, I'm not against that. If you want a security system, buy it. But I tell you, our real security is Christ. He's a day and night. He never sleeps. He's always on the job. Though I walk, you remember this verse? Don't turn. Let me just read it for you because you remember it. Psalm 23. Let me get it here for you quickly. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they're my comfort. They're my comfort. Now, that's our confidence. That's our confidence. If God be for us, God be for us, and He is, who can be against us? Nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, most of the commentators that I read after refer to the final judgment, the destruction that wasteth at high noon. We shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ, but not to be judged. Not to be judged. Our judgment has already taken place. There is therefore now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we shall be there at the judgment seat of Christ as a trophy of His grace, as a trophy of His love. And we shall see, as it says in verse 7 and 8, we shall see the reward, the wicked rewarded. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Judgment shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, it says over here in the Revelation, if you want to turn there, I wouldn't discourage you from doing so, but if you want to turn to Revelation 19, let's read this verse. Well, I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn, but if you want to turn, you can. Revelation 19. You know, in that final judgment, when the torment of the smoke and the torment of the wicked, when it does arise, you know, we'll say amen to their condemnation. Revelation 19:3, and again, they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And that's the smoke of the wicked. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We'll say amen to the condemnation of the wicked in that day. Even if it involves those whom in this life I knew or loved, the believer will say amen to their condemnation. I had a friend years ago. I've told this story before. I don't have any confidence in him that he knew the Lord, but he was a very religious man. And he told me one day, and it kind of shocked me. He said, you know, if I'm in glory and my son is not with me, he said, you know, I won't enjoy heaven's glory. And I told him, I said, if your son's not there and he is receiving the reward of his wicked deeds, you're going to say amen to his condemnation. And he looked at me in the most strange way. But that's so. That is so. We'll say amen to that day. They're getting exactly what they deserve. And the believers in Christ Jesus have no need to fear judgment. Our judgment's taking place in our substitute, Jesus Christ. Now, that's our confidence. Now, here's thirdly, the believer's redeemer and refuge. The believer's redeemer and refuge in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 down through verse 13. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up, in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now the believer's redeemer, because, you see that in verse 9? Because he's the cause. He is the cause. Our salvation, he's the cause of our salvation. Our salvation is his doing. His doing. Let me show you a verse over here looking ahead in Psalm 98. Psalm 98 verse 1. Our salvation is all his doing. He's the cause of it. Psalm 98, 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Who hath done it? He hath done it. Our salvation is his doing. Because the Lord, the Most High, has made the Lord Jesus Christ our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our dwelling place, our Savior, our righteousness, he's made unto us. Therefore shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has made unto us, because Christ is all and we're complete in him, there shall no evil, no plague come nigh us. Now, what does this mean in reality unto us as we live in this body of the flesh? Now, we do experience the evil of sin. We do. We have a body that's nothing but sin. We say with the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am. We do experience the evil of temptation, don't we? We do have evil thoughts. We do experience the evil of affliction, sickness, ache, pain, disease of body. But we do not experience the evil of punishment for our sin. That has taken place in Christ Jesus. The plague and the curse of the law and the curse of our sin that was one time against us, Christ has dealt with our sin and has put our sin away and has given us his blessed righteousness. Now there is a chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, but he never chastens us to put away our sin. He chastens us because he loves us, as a father would chasteneth his son. I like this psalm over here, Psalm 103, where it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sin. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. How far is the east from the west? That's a pretty fur piece. It's infinite, isn't it? There is the east and the west never meet again. He said their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. No evil shall befall thee. The plague, the curse of sin, the plague of the law. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's dealt with our sin. Verse 11, 12, and 13. His angels minister to us. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways. They shall bear thee up. You ever seen a ministering angel? Huh? I haven't. I've never seen an angel. But you know the scriptures teach that the angels are sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. Do you believe in guardian angels? Absolutely. Absolutely. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways. We're kept by the power of God. One of the means the Lord has ordained to minister unto his saints, the saints of God, is a mighty army of angels. While they bring great destruction upon the enemies of God, They bring great protection upon the believer in Christ Jesus. Now, we are instructed not to worship angels. You know, John did that there on the Isle of Patmos, and he was rebuked of God, rebuked for it. But angels do serve God's purpose. They do minister to God's people, and they did minister to the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in the body of flesh. After that 40-day of fasting, and then Satan came and tempted the Lord Jesus in all points, like as we are, yet he was without sin. The angels, it said there in that text we read, the angels came and ministered unto him. When he was arrested in the garden and Peter tried to defend him with the sword, you remember what he said? Peter, put up your sword. I can call 12 legions of angels. What would 12 legions of angels do to those? I can think of a story over in 2 Kings where one angel killed, 80,000 Syrians. One angel. What would a legion, 12 legions of angels do? When he prayed in the garden there in Gethsemane, the angels came and ministered unto him. At his resurrection, who came and rolled the stone away at the graveside? The angel descended and rolled the stone away and then sat on top of it and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." And then at his ascension, when he ascended to glory after being 40 days in his bodily resurrected glory, and when he walked out with his disciples that day and ascended up to glory, remember two men in white apparel? Who were those two men? Angels. Remember what they said? "This same Jesus whom you see go up to heaven will come again in like manner." This same Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the last thing is this, the believer's promise of salvation. Because he has set his love upon us, he's loved us with an everlasting love, he will deliver us, he will set us on high. We do know his name, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We shall call upon him because he called us. God says, "I will answer him, I'll be with him in trouble, he'll never forsake us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I will deliver him." Those that honor him, how do you honor him? By believing him. Those who honor the Son will be honored of God. And with long life, with long life, I'll satisfy him. Now, he's not talking here about long life upon this earth. He's talking about long life. I mean, he's talking about, "I give my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. And I'll show him my salvation." I like what Simeon said, "Lord, let me depart in peace. I have seen thy salvation." Well, I pray the Lord will bless his word to your heart.